And we are live.
Live.
Are we
What's
not?
up? No, yeah, we are.
We are. Okay. Let me get you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Perfect. And I can hear you. How you doing today, Clark? What's up? What's popping?
I'm good. Just been bouncing around on calls. Had to get a haircut and beard trim. It's been a while. So, you know, feeling fresh.
I need one of those. I mean, it's starting to get scraggly. It's going under the lip. That's when it's like, dude. My wife is like, come on, please.
It's just that, like, the winter, it happens, right? Like, you know, I didn't get it last time. I was like, oh, I'll go 6 weeks. And then this week, I was like, I'm starting to get the castaway look. So I had to clean it up a little bit.
No, 100%. Yeah. My best friend was a volleyball too. So 100%.
Same. Oh, man.
What are we doing today, dude? What are we talking about? What are we doing?
That's a good question. Today, I want to talk about. Let me add this to the. We're going to talk about the approach. People always ask me, so what is it that you guys actually do? Like, how do you do it? I was like, well, let's talk about it, you know, from a sales and a content side, because it's intricate. I think it's easy to get lost in the abstract, as you've talked about, but it's January. Everyone's talking about sales. Yep. A lot of people now are talking about content. Right. What's this cohort? What's this mastermind you guys have? Does anyone learn anything? Are there any people that are successful? Are they all AI case studies? Like, what do we got here? Right. Like all the questions.
Yeah.
So
yes, they are.
Like,
yeah.
You know, I think this is an important. We kind of built this out this month because of that. I want people to get a roadmap. Right. I want to see the work that can go into it, but also the results.
Yeah.
And how much of a game changer this stuff can be. Because that's what's really happening for the people that are showing up to all the calls, right? The group calls, the one-on-one calls in our program, like
doing
the transformation. Yeah, they're doing the work. But it also allows them to ask questions about, hey, what about when this comes up or that comes up? And they're able to learn from me and you and Keely and Ross and Christina. And like they're like, when they're in it, they're getting questions are coming up. They're getting answers immediately. So then the growth that we're seeing since since September, October with this last group, I mean, it's nuts. And it's like, I think we wrote it all out this week and I was like, let's just talk about it because I think it's been really resonating with people.
Yeah. And I think a lot has been, honestly, you know, we've been on so many calls this last month or two, like really diving in and dialing into what the problem areas are, like really being curious, genuinely curious about every person we talk to and trying to uncover what those are. Because we know we have solutions that'll work for them. We just need to know what those actual problems are.
Yeah.
So to like really, you know, to really kick this off, I always feel like the best way is to uncover what those problems are, right? Like bring those to the surface so we can start to address them in a way that makes sense. So Clark, just curious, like, you know, over the last month or two, as you've been on these calls with a lot of these, you know, agencies that are needing help, agencies that, you know, aren't getting help from recruiters or are recognizing that they're at the place where they just need help now, what are some of those problems that you're hearing that they're needing to solve, that they're starting to become aware of?
Yeah. Well, I want to answer that, but quick, Heather, breakdown for full desk model. This is full desk. This could be split desk as well. I think full desk is... And I'll break it down. You have to be super disciplined with full desk. And this is a big, big part of it. But this could be a model for split. As anyone that's doing sales, I mean, you could also replace recruiting with sales here. Or you could do sales and recruiting piece plus the content. So I just want to answer that first. But
no, that's a great point. It's all things we're teaching, I think it's all interchangeable, right?
Yep.
Like what we teach in sales is interchangeable for content, which is interchangeable for your conversations, which is interchangeable for the way you write your messaging. And you know, that's kind of the flywheel we teach is everything layers onto the next thing and it all impacts each other. And that's kind of the beautiful system we created.
Absolutely. So let's dive into the problem that you talked about.
Let's do it.
I mean, even just today, it was, you know, I didn't qualify the rec. I didn't find out the urgency of the role in time. And so I went through the offer stage and they quibbled over a couple $1,000 and the placement wasn't made, right? Because I didn't understand exactly what they're looking for. It was like a nice to have, not a must have, right? How do I establish, you know, a start date? Because if you have a bunch of roles that could be filled yesterday, how do you prioritize your desk, right? So prioritizing your desk can be an issue, right? Yep. Understanding how to ask the tough questions to clients, right? Is there a fear? Is there not knowing what to say, how to say it? Is there a fear of losing the client, right? Or getting ignored,
yep.
right? By asking 100%. Some of the tough questions, which funny enough, once you start asking the right tough questions, completely flips it and they start gaining respect for you, right? I know that's kind of some of the solutions, but we're talking about problems. The I don't have time to prospect and recruit in the same day
yeah.
or prospect and go on meetings and do in person, or I'm great offline, but I don't know what to say online and messaging, right? We've all been there, right? A text doesn't look the same as someone saying it to you, right? You're missing some of that context. Like, how do I do that in starting conversations, right? What do I post about? Is it my yep. logo? Do I need a website? Right? Do I have to have a website before I start posting on LinkedIn? I mean, I'm just spitballing here.
Well, like, so let's start yeah. with one of the first ones you started with, because this is one that we hear all the time, and it has to do with how we project our feelings onto somebody else, right? And how often do we hear about, you know, not knowing how to message somebody or thinking that they're going to feel a certain way by us challenging or uncovering things? When more times than not, the reality is this is exactly what they're looking for. The problem is everybody has treated them that exact way, and they haven't asked the right questions, right? Which would have these people start thinking and considering some of these things. It's the right questions that lead to the right answers. If you don't uncover what those problems are and make them aware, then they're not going to be able to uncover what that is for you. So how do we do that? How would you handle that?
Yeah. And I mean, for people following along, if we're talking about sales, this is phase one and two, right? This is your foundation and this is your yep. sales plan, right? Part of a plan is not just like we've talked about value prop before on here. Like, what do you bring to the table? What are your strengths, right? What's your niche or vertical?
Right.
You know, how does that look? What is your ideal client profile, or ICP for short? But, and then the question, right? You dig into some of the emotions, like what are the questions that you're going to ask them, that like, what are the questions you have to ask your candidates and clients every single time, right? And really having that structure. And for me, it's always starting like, find out about them every single conversation. Yes. As a recruiter, you're a matchmaker, a salesperson, recruiter, right? We've got to match the client with the candidate, right? I just mixed both those words almost by accident.
No,
but anyways, that's what your job is. So people sometimes go right into, well, like, all right, what do you need? Like, what's the skill? Like, the top must have. All right, I'll go get to work. Like, I'll let you know when I have people. All right, it's like, I have people. Oh, that's not what we're looking for. You're like, wait a minute, these are amazing candidates. Like, what's going on? Right? Like, we got to take a step back. It's like, why is this open? Why are you looking? Yeah. You know, how do you currently go about it? Right? Or even the call I had yesterday was just like, how long you, like, hey, you started a couple months ago. Like, how's that been for you? And she gave us all the information, right? Gave us a whole breakdown, super yep. sharp. HR lady, really proud of her work, and she like completely got it. I didn't have to do much. I was like, okay, that's how you operate. Great. Well, this is how we operate. Like, I see a couple of things here. Like, okay, we can agree here, and like, we're off and running. We got a start date. We were going.
And like, so let me stop you right there. Because you've encapsulated exactly what we're talking about today, right? We're talking about the approach and the system. So what Clark just described is our approach. And our approach is we believe you should be using empathy as a tool in your process, because what empathy does is allows you to be genuinely curious. And what you want to do is you want to understand their worldview if you are using empathy. And by doing that, that's where that curiosity comes, where you keep asking these questions because you genuinely want to find the answer, because you know that your solution is going to help them, right? And so the way that we use empathy as a research tool is we're not selling them, we're alleviating of their pain, which is going to help them. The more empathy you have towards that, the more you will genuinely want to dig deep with them and want to understand what that is. That's what Clark's explaining.
Yeah, the empathy, we've talked about this, it's a word that gets thrown around, I think misconstrued a lot, but it truly 100%. Is, it doesn't mean like, oh, I have to be a good person or anything like that. Like, it means you got to put yourself in their shoes, right? Like the true definition of it. Ask them. Yeah.
Understand their rules, their values, their beliefs, and their biases. That's all it is.
Yeah. Well, I understanding their rules is a really big one. I'm glad you said that, because that is one of the things I talked about with Keely, who's a sales coach with a client earlier today. It's like, you want to find out, especially with HR, like, what are their rules?
Exactly.
Because right? You don't want to break their rules. Right? For example, like, everyone's like, do I go after HR or hiring manager? Well, you know, talk to the hiring manager, right? They'll probably introduce you to HR, but then figure out the rules of HR. What I said was, like, with a hiring manager, you want to talk shop, right? Talk the role, the department, right? They want to get in the weeds. Exactly. Right? But with HR...
They don't know. They don't know.
You find their rules and give them love. Like, yes. Those are my two rules, right?
Because HR, like, they operate on rules. They're yes. HR.
And a lot of, one of the things I was talking about, there's different levels. There's the HR that's like at that level with the C-suite. They'll tell you, right, because they're proud of that work. And then there's HR that gets things that they're mandated to do things. So they're not necessarily gatekeeping you as much as they don't want to get in trouble, right? It's like, oh, we can't use more agencies or this is our budget. Yep. They're like, well, I just got to say that to like, because that's what I was told by the CFO. Right? So you want to find out, like, is it HR that's getting kind of mandated things or do they set the mandate? Right. Yes. And like, what are they trying to prioritize working on? It's just different things to think about with the approach. As you start doing that in phase one and two, I mean, think about content, right? Why yes. content matters. Imagine being able to formulate this and talk about it publicly, right? You use that empathy in your content, talking to HR, talking to hiring managers. They're going to think you're a mind reader, right?
And then we'll go into your foundation, right? Phase one and two. If you're using empathy, if you can understand these things, their values, their beliefs, their rules, right? Then you can create a product or service that they want and they need, okay? And for the record, this is tough. Like, this process is really tough. This is where we talk about doing the work. And if you do the work, it just makes sense. Things just really start to make sense, but you need a clean slate. Like, you really have to pretend like you're entering somebody's mind and you're just going for a walk. And that's what we teach in state in phase one and two, is how to get in their mind, see what they see. What do they think? What do they hear? What do they feel when these things are happening? And the more we can talk to that, the more we'll get them on through our phases to where they'll eventually be talking to us and we can help them buy what we're selling to alleviate their pain.
Absolutely. And then if we go into, then it's like, all right, so we have the approach, right? Yep. Asking the right questions, you know, your ideal. And then what's the system around it, right? So for us, it's, okay, well, how do we, you know, there's a big scary, well, you got to prospect first. Right, really get crystal clear. That's what I love Sales Navigator for. You can use Recruiter and different tools. There's, you know, Crunchbase, whatever else. I love LinkedIn because you're able to establish your brand identity in a way you can't with a cold call, cold email. Right, we've talked about that numerous times.
Yep.
And you have these, you know, Sales Navigator, which can be complicated. Right, we try to uncomplicate it for everyone, and it can be a gold mine. Right, you can build out your top 10, your dream 100, whatever. Find those accounts. Right, who you could speak to, the problems you solve, the people that, you know, you could really understand their shoes, right? Build that out, find those leads from there, right? Really spend time there, because when you're able to systemize that, you can automate. Look, people, once you add content, look, you could automate and send a connection request with no message. You could send, you could have no messaging in your drip sequence. You could just automate your connections with a great content strategy and a great profile, and that's enough, right? Like, automation isn't this like scary word. It doesn't mean that you're spamming people. That's just automation that you can see that's done poorly in your inbox, right? But if you have all these pieces, you can be so much more strategic with how you leverage technology and automation.
And just curious, Clark, what are, like, you know, again, being on these calls, talking to all these folks, what are some of the misses that people have at this step?
Well, I talked about it yesterday, outsourcing.
Yeah.
Right. So imagine outsourcing your business development, right? We're going to get you 50 calls a month, right? We get in your inbox. And I worked for one of the lead gen companies a couple of years ago. Like, there's a right and a wrong way, like everything to do it, right? Some lead gen companies and outsourced BD are incredible. Don't get me wrong.
Yes, they are.
But if you're an agency, we all know, like, trying to explain what we do with the Thanksgiving dinner table. How hard is it? Right. It's the same thing with the sales. They're like selling the SaaS. They're selling the coaches. They're like, well, how hard can recruiting be? All the recruiters are on LinkedIn. And they're realizing, like, well, we got you a bunch of calls. And the recruiter and the owner's like, yeah, but they're outside of our niche. Like, we're accounting if, you know, we're tech sales, and you got us a bunch of construction, manufacturing leads. They're like, I don't know what to do with that. They're like, well, we got you leads that are looking to hire, but there's such a missing context that's missing, and you're paying $10,000 a month for a service, then when you turn it off, you don't keep any of that work, right? So you've learned, like, your team has learned nothing, all that. So you're just like, I got a bunch of crappy leads. I paid a lot of money.
Yep.
No one improved their skills on my team, yep. right? But they didn't know the heart of our client, our DNA. Maybe you didn't know what yours was. Maybe you had to figure that out first. So unless you have a clear niche, a clear client profile, like, that's who this works for. Right. When you outsource it, but you have to work to get there at times with the niche, the vertical, the messaging, the brand identity, even just having a niche isn't enough. Maybe you don't have the right approach. Right. Or you haven't gotten the reps. You don't really know it, but you have to know your system and have it be predictable before you would outsource it. Outsourcing isn't a shortcut. You got to learn to do it for your own agency first before you want to outsource anything. Right. And like that's where I see.
Yep.
People actually, because then you can tell the company, this is exactly what I want. Here's the list. Here's the messaging. Now you go execute the plan, but you them coming up with the plan is a recipe for disaster because they don't know you and your clients and your candidates the way you do. So.
That was powerful. Okay. So you got a sales foundation. You're getting the psychology, understanding why it is you're doing what you're doing. You understand who it is that you're talking to. All right. You built a sales plan. You have a direction, getting an idea day to day, what you should be doing, you know, who you should be messaging, what that message looks like. Then you start prospecting and sourcing. You're building those target lists. You're getting on LinkedIn. You're figuring out what these people like, what their profile's like. Now you need to make sure that you're doing some outreach, some follow-up so that you can make sure that your content that you're getting out there is connecting to your sales efforts that you're doing.
Yeah.
So what are we doing in phase four? What's some of the problems, some of the things that we're talking about in terms of the outreach part?
Yeah, the outreach, if you automate it or do it manually, we recommend doing a blend of both, right? And we can dive deeper into that probably in another, in next episodes, but just get the boat in the water, right? Have your profile aligned with the prospecting list, your outreach. So if you're, accounting and finance recruiter, right? You know, you're targeting accounting and finance managers and those types, right? CFOs, all that. And then your messaging could be, you know, hey, we're both in accounting and finance. We're both in accounting. Go ahead.
Real quick. Go back real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So like you're an accounting and finance recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think your profile should speak to? If you're sending a message and somebody's going to come to your profile and what should your profile speak to? Where are people missing this?
They're talking about themselves only, right? It's okay to talk about yourself in the context of your empowering your prospect with necessary and relevant information to how you can solve their business problem and eventually have them pay you, right? And so there's a couple buckets to that. One of the biggest things I always tell people, make your headline really clear on who you serve.
Yep.
But the about section, if you're a recruiter that's made a few placements, get those on your profile. You don't have to name names, but you can name titles. You can name company size. You can name industry. Like, get that on there so they know that you've actually placed what you're talking about, right? Because that's half the time they get hit up by recruiters that are like, oh, can you do that? Oh, sure. And they go figure out like how to do it on the back. But if you can lead with that, that's a huge objection to overcoming. And if you do it, talk about a little personal stuff and your process, right? That alleviates some other objections, right? They don't treat you just like maybe another recruiter, like, right? It's like cattle, right? Some companies treat agencies like cattle. Like, oh, we got 20 agencies. We got 50. We got 100. I'm like, what?
Yes.
Why? Right? So establish yourself as like you're different there. And there's so many different ways. And just tie it back to the niches and the verticals you cover, even if it's 3 to 4 industries or 3 to 4 departments, making sure that you're sprinkling that into your profile so you give them the opportunity to read and learn that about you and apply it to how you guys could potentially partner, right? Because as you're sending a connection request, that's what they're going to do.
And I feel like everybody just like, consider you getting a message from somebody, okay? And they're trying to sell you. And they've said something and you've considered it. What are you doing? You're going to go do some research. Okay, recruiter. So you, it's not a one-way street. It's not a one-way mirror. The moment you send a message, it's a two-way street. They're going to go to your profile. If your profile does not sound like you are who you said you are in that message and you can do what you said you did, bye. But not only bye, gone forever.
That's
the problem. Gone forever.
Dude, spending $6,000, $10,000, $15,000, I've seen companies spend hundreds of thousands that are in the millions on recruiter seats, and none of their recruiters have an optimized profile.
They don't even have a picture on their profile.
They don't even attach the company logo, the company page to the profile. There's nothing on the about section.
Nothing.
I mean, that is a huge lost revenue opportunity. I mean,
you're about to go eat at a restaurant.
Yeah.
It's got no reviews. It's got no picture. Are you going to eat? No freaking way. Why would you think that anybody's going to spend a dollar on you if you have no storefront?
No,
because the LinkedIn is your storefront.
Yeah, it's like I'm worried I could get salmonella or something, right? If I go with them, there's no accountability, right? Like, who do I report to if something goes wrong? Right? I mean, I think that's half the battle, the content piece of content that sells in LinkedIn. It's just putting yourself out there adds a layer of accountability. And it does kind of show, right? It's just like, oh, that recruiter's not afraid. Yeah.
Well, just haven't we all used social media long enough now where it's like, dude, have you ever trusted a profile in the last 10 years that wasn't filled out in some way? No way.
No.
Those are like the obvious. I mean, I don't mean it that way. And I'm not saying if you don't. But in most other platforms like Twitter or Facebook, those are the scammers. They're usually because they're obfuscating.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's what you do, but perception is reality. And on all other social media profiles, people that don't have them filled out, it appears a certain way. So to a lot of people that use other social media platforms, that's how it appears to you, whether you want that to be the case or not.
Yeah, because you don't want them to turn tune out, like you said. So that makes it, make sure you keep them tuned in.
Exactly.
And then you let like your content, everything, your messaging. It also allows your messaging with the system to be just start a conversation. Your goal with cold outreach with this system is get a conversation going relevant to hiring, right? It's not at all about, we both went to Boston College or something like that. Or there's nothing wrong with connecting people with the alma mater. It's actually a good networking strategy if you're a recruiter. But it's the get a conversation going with the automation. What were we talking about earlier this week? It's don't worry about a personalized first message. You want a relevant first message.
You can
personalize the second message.
Let's stay right there real quick. Because I love tangible advice for everybody that's in the audience. That thank you so much for taking time to meet with us. Let's give them something. Clark, what's just a solid initial message that you would send to somebody? That people probably don't think is a good initial message.
Honestly, helped millions. It's like, literally, how have your hiring efforts going in this challenging market?
That's it.
There's more that goes into that message, right? You want to do a little bit of an intro sentence, but that's the question. That's it.
And so, just simplicity. Because, like, oh my God, how many people do we talk to where you can tell the consternation of how long they have thought about what that message is? It's just simple.
Forever. Oh, forever. We do staffing. We do this. Well, that your profile should show them what you do. The message should reveal where they're at.
There you go. Can you say that again?
Your profile tells them what you do. The messaging reveals where they're at.
Because it's not about you, right? It's, I mean, it is, but it's not. You know, in everything we do, in the sales foundation, in the building your sales plan, in the prospecting and sourcing, in the LinkedIn outreach, yes, we are well aware of the solutions that we can provide. But the more that we can make it that we are just here for you, again, the less it'll be about selling and the more it'll be about just alleviating your pain.
Yeah, exactly. And this is where people get tripped up. They're like, oh, give me a script. Give me a template.
That's right.
I could give you stuff that's worth, but there's context around it, right? And try it for yourself. It might kill with the audience. It might not, right? Who knows? That's why we got to do trial and error. That's the consistency piece.
Agreed.
Right? But think of that critical concept. Like, that's the key. And get comfortable with the uncomfortable. Get comfortable with the no thanks. Get comfortable with, like, unfollow me. Get comfortable with I'm not in charge of hiring, right? Or that's 100%. HR, or we're not adding more agencies. Accept any and all answers because that's the data you can learn from.
Yes, yes.
So many people are scared of prospect because they're scared of the replies.
Yes.
You have to embrace the reply, whatever it is.
And that's a fantastic segue, because the way that this works, guys, is consistency. It's phase five. Over the messaging part, the way that you understand how you think, how you react, how you understand what they do, you have to do it over and over and over. I've done it thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times, and I learn something new all the time because I'm being consistent with, and let me say it, it's two things, I swear to y'all, and I'll get it back to Clark. There's two reasons you need to be consistent. It's for them to see you, but it's also because you have to build believability with yourself.
Yeah.
The consistency with the writing, with the sales, with the showing up, with the hearing no is for you. Because the only way that we can do hard things in our brain and create new neural pathways is by doing hard things. We have to become somebody else. And the only way you can become somebody else is, guess what? You have to actually become somebody else and do it.
You have to do it. The approach and the system and the consistency equals confidence.
Correct.
That's what it will lead to. And that is where it equals great clients, because great clients buy from confident recruiters.
Let me give you an example. That's a great segue. Forget it. I'll just go off the cuff here. Great example. I have been doing this with clients for about 4 years now with the homie Adam, Junaid, and you. And I would say that over the last month is where I've honestly felt the most free. Because of all the consistency I've had, I've now built up a level of confidence, and we've talked about this, with myself that I've never had in my life. And so now going into calls, I kind of go into calls with a clean slate, where before I'd kind of have a plan because I was just a little bit nervous about what I could and couldn't do. Where now, because I've shown up so often and I built believability with myself, I know that no matter what happens on the other side, it'll be okay. Whether they say no, whether they say yes, whether they say maybe or anything, because I know this is a fact, and I learned this mostly from Clark. Right place, right time, right person. And unfortunately, we never know when that is. So the best we can do, listen to the signs and signals of the other human being on the other side, and then have our content, our messaging, and our follow-up work for us.
I love it. And just to wrap that up, the reason I approach it that way and I teach it that way, because I've reverse engineered, I want my days to be filled of working with clients and internal people at Kevin and Christina that I absolutely love working with, that I'm on the same page with. So that's what I reverse engineered. Who do I want to work with? Who do I enjoy working with? That's the type of person. How do I get that as like to fill up my calendar every single day? And that was my goal. It's not a monetary goal. That was my goal. And guess what? Those are inputs. Get those outputs. The money flows. The money comes after, right? And to me, it was too important. I had to do everything I could, right, to fund this business. I pulled a 401k out, did everything I could build a business with those types of clients and day-to-day interactions. That's how much I cared about this. And in agency recruiting, it's the same thing, which is Recruiter Talent Group. There is not enough time in our lives to work with getting ghosted by candidates, getting ghosted by clients, getting, you know, the runaround, all that. There's just not enough time. There's too many other things that we got to do, right? We got to do it the right way. That's why that approach to me matters so much. And I know it matters to a lot of recruiters out there, because I've talked to a lot of you and I love doing it, because this is like what's fun, is getting on this track to do it this way. And then we're not scared of hiring managers anymore. We're not scared of saying the wrong thing. It's like, no, this is our boundaries. These are questions we got to know to make this work. We're a leader in this conversation and in this partnership, and we got to make it happen. Like, you guys got to play by the rules to make it work, because you don't know how to hire. That's why we're here. And you don't know, find a job. Those things are okay, right? To not know, because they know what they do know, right? Like, this is what you're an expert at. Like, you do that, like, whew, it turns the tide on everything in your day.
So that's account nurturing, y'all. That's account nurturing. It's letting your content work for you. It's letting your messaging work for you. It's understanding that you don't need to sell today. It's understanding that not everybody is aware of their problems the moment they talk to you. Often it's your, we talk about this all the time. It's your job to be the guide to give them a plan of success. That's generally why they're in front of you, because they haven't gotten a plan that makes sense to them, right? So let's go back and let's go forward. So think about this again. Sales and content, that's the approach. Those are the pillars. You got to get that sales foundation. You have to understand why content matters. Why are you in this sales process? From there, you can understand how to build your sales pipeline and establish your brand identity, right? You'll understand who you are and who you're speaking to. And then you can move on to prospect and source. Figure out, okay, now that you know who you're speaking to, go find them. Go find where they're at. What do they look like? What do they sound like? What are they talking about? What does their profile look like? Go search that out. Then we go into some LinkedIn outreach, right? Content doesn't work on its own. If anybody's telling you content, they're lying to you. It's content with messaging, with an optimized pro. It's a flywheel, right? So LinkedIn outreach, how to write content that sells. We've had our last two chats on that, right? It's having empathy and using it as a tool, because it's not about you. It's about them. And then the last phase, you have to show up every day and build believability, not with just your audience, but with yourself. Yeah, and when you do that, that's when you'll be able to build your pipeline, because it's amazing what consistency will do for that pipeline when you're creating content that speaks to people. You're going to be getting DMs all the time from people that are like, I just want to talk to you and see what you're doing, because I don't know, but I want to know. I have so many people waiting for me right now because of that. And then what you're doing the whole time is you're nurturing your accounts. You're writing consistently. And now people out there have identified you as somebody who's going to show up and help them. So you have changed your identity. Forget habits, y'all. I love James Clear. Forget habits. It's identity. You want to change your identity in the eyes of the person on the other side. Consistency will do that for you.
Yeah.
And that's my end.
It's you wrapped it up perfectly. And yeah, the what you get from that, to go tie back to the beginning, how can you outsource that? You can't. Yeah, not in the beginning. You have to figure this out before you can outsource it.
Legitimately, yeah. I have problems. You cannot outsource that. So that means you what? You got to do the work. But Kat, all right, real quick, I promise. Can I just say this? Because it brings, y'all need to feel it. Can I just ask you, Clark, for anybody that, and I'm sure a lot of people, but what does the work, like when you do the work, how does that feel? Like, what has that given to you?
Oh, I'm having a great time.
Isn't it so much fun?
I'm having fun. Literally no one has more, like you see it. Like I get worked up about things, but I'm always like, this is awesome. Like I can't believe I get to work on these things and these problems. And like, it's problems that like I want to solve, because we keep putting ourselves out there, and clients, oh man, they bring up so many questions, and we're trying to like answer them and do all that as fast as we can, because there are hundreds of scenarios that come up in this industry, right? Different scenarios, and it's like it's so fun. It's never ending, and it's so fun to solve them, right? On Friday night, I'm gonna like sit down and be like, man, I worked hard this week, right? But I feel like that way every Friday night, but I don't feel like. I don't want to do anything else. I was talking to another recruiting coach yesterday. I talked to a couple this week, and we're both like, why would we ever retire? We love talking about this stuff and solving these problems. Like, I can never imagine a time where I'm not working. That's what I want for everyone that goes through this program, is to get that same feeling. Because if you have that, the money will come. Yeah. I guarantee it.
So technically, dude, I went through this program. Right. Technically, I kind of went through the program. Man, that's what it gave. Yeah. It gave me the ability to have fun, because here's the story that I came here with. And it was this. The story I came to this program with was that I had to sell my services. OK. And the story I've left with after going through this program and creating the content section of this program with this team is I can't wait to help solve people's problems, because that is genuinely fun for me. It gets me excited, and I know that's what sells.
And I've seen the shift in the evolution. I want to answer Heather's question too, as well. But that answer, Heather, is she's still on here, because I know she asked it a few minutes ago. But like that mindset shift, I mean, I've seen it in time, because you are comfortable with learning about them first. And then you have the confidence, because you have the skills to get them in the right direction. And that is what you want out of every call. Not to get a wreck, not to get a client, but to point them in the right direction. Leave them a little bit better than you found them.
Right.
And in the era of insanity, which is what we're in, the era of insanity, people do not forget that.
All right, let's peel that back just real quick, because that is – sorry, that's important. That's important. Yeah. We are not trying to sell on every call. We are just trying to expose what their problems are so that we can lead them in a direction, because the reason they're coming to us likely is when they wake up in the morning, they do not know what to do because they're not enough aware of their problem or how to solve it.
Imagine last time we talked about it, right? Imagine having 100 meetings this year, two a week.
Yes.
You point 100 people in the right direction. You don't think 10 of them can be new clients?
Especially if in the background, you're writing content every day that speaks to the top of the funnel, the middle of the funnel, and the bottom of the funnel, and they are seeing you show up consistently.
Even if it's just once or twice a week and you do like your check-in and your follow-up, right? So it's just that's the key.
Can I just say last thing? And then who knows? Maybe once a month, you just check in with them. That's all. You just see how things are going.
Well, if you ask the right questions on the front end, you know what positions they're always on the lookout for. You know they're tough to find recs. You know about their business. You know about their background, how they got there. You have a million things to do on the follow-up. So that's a huge piece of it. But we'll dial it back for a second to answer Heather's question. Right? And there's so much in here.
Well, I think this goes to right place, right person, right time. Right, dude?
Just falling in love. That's a weird way to put it. With that mindset, like just that process, it's not. This is real. Like this is how you get real quantifiable results. This is what we see work. Any of the testimonials to see the successes, all that. That's what people have done. That's what they've held on to is the approach, the system, and the consistency. Right, like we show them the system. You know, there's a lot of good systems out there. They don't mean anything with the approach and the consistency. So you do that piece of it. And to Heather's question here, what's the answer? How do you respond? There's a million ways you could respond, but I'll give you three to the top of my head. Not interested. Go to their LinkedIn company page. See the jobs that they have listed and see how long they've been open for. So if they're not interested and the job's been open for 6 months, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, do you not care? Like, oh, so I'm assuming you filled that director of nursing role. Oh, no, we didn't. Or I'm not in charge of hiring. Oh, like, who is? You know, maybe they give you the name. Not using agencies. Do the same thing. How long have the roles been open for? Call them out on it, right? So I'm like, oh, great. So you filled that software engineering role. No, actually, we didn't. So why aren't you using agencies? Like, who's in charge of this? Like, you guys just going to not bring on the person? Right? Doing, oh, well, we don't really care about that filling that role. Like, oh, no.
It stinks, okay.
Right? It stinks.
It's crazy how you'll uncover what the real problem is.
Exactly. And if Heather, I'll message Heather because if she jumped off, I got to make sure that she knows I cover this. But, and then not adding new agencies, same thing. The jobs posted, all that stuff. Okay, great. Like that's, but you know they're using agencies. That is someone to track. And for any of these like objections, connect with 10 other people at that company that are decision makers or leaders. Like, don't just stop at that one person, connect with everyone else. Right? Get in the door the other way. So, that's just couple ideas, frameworks at the top of my head.
I love that. Yeah, I'm a former door-to-door salesman. So I'm a huge fan of looking at the word at the phrase no soliciting and reading no smoking. So hey, you're gonna hear from me.
I appreciate Adam. Harness your inner Tony Robbins. And then I both have a little bit of that by accident.
By accident, I've been told, and I like to use the word verbose. I can be verbose, but it's because I just have so much energy, passion. I love what I do. This is no BS. If people could hear our calls when me and you were just like riffing, where we meant to talk for 5 minutes and then an hour and 5 minutes later, we're like, dude, I got things to do today.
Well, that's how we started doing this.
This is how we started doing this.
That's why we're like, let's just press record and start talking. Like, what are we doing here? Like, you know, like, let's share this stuff because it's fun and, you know, appreciate anyone that tunes in. Yeah. And we're going to do this, I think, again, Monday and Friday.
That's right. Mondays and Fridays. So this is us.
I got to create the events. I think we might end up switching the day of the week later, but right now, Monday and Friday, we're going to start getting probably an hour on the books here at some point soon.
At least 45 minutes. I think we're a 45 minute type of dudes.
Yeah, this could get out of control real quick.
Yeah, no, but it was still good. It was highly tactical. We got through the phases. We were able to describe, got some, you know, again, I always love to give people tangible advice. We got that. Please, if anybody has any other questions, any feedback, anything that you want to just discuss, please feel free to DM us. We are always, boom, there you go.
Yeah.
Please find us here and happy to chat. And like, I cannot express to anybody who's here, I can't see who is, but you could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with us, and I appreciate the hell out of you.
Likewise. If you got questions about how you could work with us, message us. We got a cohort starting January 29th. We got a few slots left there. We also have some other ways that you can work. I think I put my calendar in there in the comment section. We talk about the sales and content course. We have that link is in the comment section as well. So feel free to kind of check that out, see if that might be a fit for you. And connect with us, reach out to us. You know, we love it. We love interacting. If you got topics that you would want us to cover and all that, just reach out.
So why don't you try one of the messages we gave you? Just see if it works.
And give us feedback on if it does work. Yeah.
That's right.
All right, brother. We'll see you Monday, man.
Yes, sir.
See y'all. Bye.
Thanks, y'all. Happy Friday.